chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. My voice is sounding very funny. I'm like, what's going on? Glory to God. Yeah, I don't mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I want to read from verse 1. Now, we've been looking at the subject of receiving and ministering edification. Amen? I don't know how many of us, have been with us from the beginning when we started teaching? Okay, because I'm saying that so that I will know what to repeat and what not to repeat, even though it's a subject that requires repetition before it can be caught. Now, this is not just a topic, it's a lifestyle. And until it becomes a lifestyle, I have not done a good job as a pastor, okay, of teaching it. Because we have to take tongues from the realm of a topic in Bible to a lifestyle. It was designed to be a lifestyle. So understanding is what makes it possible to enjoy the benefit that is hidden behind it. That understanding is what we're pursuing by looking at God's word. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. Follow after charity or follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh now, no tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesy speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh now, no tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. I'm going to read on so that we can get a full meaning. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speak with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge, or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kind of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Verse 12, Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now I'm going to stop there. We could have read the whole chapter to give full meaning to what it was saying. If you have a good King James version of the Bible, that's why I brought my phone here, because I have a good King James version here that would show you certain words in the original King James that were italicized. If you're reading a good King James version of the Bible, I want to teach you a principle that will help you to understand your Bible better. There are words that are written in italics. The purpose of those words is that the original translators added certain words to amplify the meaning. Here's the challenge. In the original Greek, some words that they put there actually helped in amplifying the meaning. Some words took away from the meaning. Do you understand? So you have to understand from the context which word applies, which one doesn't apply. For instance, verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 14. If I read it without the words in italics, this is what it will sound like. Verse chapter 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth. Not no man understandeth him. Is no man understandeth. That word him is italicized. Unknown tongue is italicized. There is no unknown tongue on the surface of the earth. There are other tongues, but there's no unknown tongue. The word unknown means that it is not known by anyone. And there's no tongue that's not known by anyone. If it is in the realm of men, it is understood by some, but not by all. So when it says he that speaketh, the original tongue used to be he that speaks in a tongue, speaks not to men, but unto God. For no man understandeth, not no man understandeth him. Every man can be understood, but no man understandeth. So the subject matter is not the man speaking, but what the man is saying. Hallelujah. Is important, because some of these things will give you a clue into what is being said. So when he says, he that speaketh, he's talking about somebody who voluntarily speaks. The minute the person begins to speak, he's speaking mysteries. Before he jumped to saying a man that speaks, where does it start from? He says, follow after love, or let love be your motivation. He now says, and desire what? Spiritual gifts. He's showing us a clue. Desire plays a major part in the operation of anything spiritual. He means if you don't desire, it's not going to happen to you or come upon you. You know, this will answer the question of why, when you first got filled with the Holy Ghost, it seems as though you didn't continue speaking in tongues. Because based on where you're coming from or whatever you have been taught, you may have been expecting God to inspire you or God to start it. But the truth of the matter is this, with more understanding, you realize that the Bible says, he that speaketh, that's number one. Number two, it says, follow after. It means God has left certain things to your prerogative. God is expecting that based on knowledge, you will consciously step into certain things. It's not going to force you because you are his son. In fact, the Bible says the spirit of adoption will gently make us say, Abba, Father. It means the spirit of adoption in nature and character is gentle, will lead and guide, but will never force. So in the beginning, it says, follow up our love and desire. It means through knowledge, you get to a point where you realize that this thing and this are supposed to belong to me. They are supposed to be in expression. Why are they not in expression? Desire. So say, follow after love and desire things of the spirit. Actually, the word spirit, the word gift there, when it says spiritual, is also italicized. So what he actually says is desire spirituals or desire things that pertain to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So desire is a major key into entering into things that have to do with the Holy Ghost. So he now begins to give us an illustration. Now, let me stop and say something again. And that is this. There are 9 manifestations of the Spirit in the New Testament. We have a list of those 9 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 4 to verse 11, you will see the 9 manifestations. But here's something interesting. Out of the 9, 7 were in operation in the Old Testament before Jesus came. So all Jesus added after his death, burial and resurrection is just 2. And those 2 are diverse kind of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, we are big on redemption or understanding the fact that according to God's plan of redemption, we have a new covenant established on better promises. Isn't that what the Bible says? Number 2, the blood of Jesus Christ has made the difference between the old and the new. We are new creations. Behold, all things have become what? New. If 9 manifestations are given and 7 were already present, it must mean, therefore, that the 2 that Jesus added are so unique, they will virtually overshadow the other 7. Let me say it another way. The only thing that was added was tongues and what? Interpretation. If you don't study scripture very well, it won't come to your understanding that the tongue and interpretation must be a doorway into bigger things in God. Otherwise, it won't be added. How come it didn't show up under the Old Testament? Obviously, the tongue and interpretation must have something to do with the blood of Jesus and the new creation for it to be so relevant that God gave it to us. In the Old Testament, if the Spirit of God didn't move them, they couldn't do anything. But if you check the New Testament, this 1 Corinthians, the Bible, by the Spirit of God, gives us an outline of instructions on how to function in a gift. And that's serious. If the Bible can give instruction, and the only instruction it gives is when it comes to tongues and interpretation, and it gives instruction, it doesn't give instruction about how to operate in word of knowledge. It's either you have it or you don't have it. It doesn't give you how to operate in working of miracles. It's either you have it or you don't have it. But when it comes to tongues, it gives us step-by-step instruction. It means it has something to do with our will. Hallelujah. If we receive instruction concerning that, and we don't have instruction concerning the others, it must mean it has something to do with our will. So when it says desire, and the first thing he mentions, when it says desire, the first illustration he gives, it doesn't say anything about power gifts. It doesn't say anything about variation gifts. But it says, he that speaketh. And yet, it didn't say desire tongues. It said desire things that pertain to and are of the Holy Ghost. He that speaketh. So obviously, in expressing your desire, in starting out, how do you prove you desire? You speak in tongues. How do you show God you desire something greater? A mighty manifestation. You speak in tongues, for he that speaketh after saying desire. So you follow the thought by the Spirit of God. It means that it's speaking in tongues that you use to prove that you desire something bigger and something better. Hallelujah. Do you understand so far? So he that speaketh in a tongue is not speaking to men but unto God. For no man understandeth, but albeit in the spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. I'm going to discuss now to minister and receive edification. And we have looked at the fact that what is tongues? Tongues is inspired utterance in another language. What is prophecy? Prophecy is inspired utterance in a known language. So if you compare the two, what is common to the two? Both are inspired. Both are coming not from the mind, from the spirit of man. One appeals to the spirit, one appeals to the soul. So Paul is giving us instruction that, listen, every single believer can originate and can utter inspired utterances or can speak on deliberately. He now says, here is the challenge. The Corinthian church were speaking much in tongues. In fact, to the point where they were abusing it. So Paul was saying, if you people don't have knowledge, you won't be able to harvest the results you are meant to receive from speaking. Were they speaking in tongues? Yes. What was the problem? They didn't have knowledge on its usage. Without knowledge, they couldn't take hold of the profit that they were meant to have. So Paul gave them step-by-step instruction concerning what to do. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is really, really about. So let's read on now. Verse 3. 1 Corinthians 14. It says, for he that prophesies speaks unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in a tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. Verse 5. I will that ye all speak with tongues, but rather you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. 2 points I want us to notice there. That verse 5. Last time I read it to us, I told us what it really says in the Greek is this. I will that you all speak with tongues in order that you may prophesy. In order that you may prophesy. In other words, tongues is meant to lead you into something else. Tongues is meant to energize you to the point where you release yourself to the point where inspired utterances can now come in a known language. How do you start? Start inspired utterances in another language or in unknown language. What will lead you to? Into inspired utterance in a known language. Notice it says, greater is he. And I explain what it means. The word greater there means of greater benefit is a person who is prophesying than he who is speaking in tongues. Why? Everyone is receiving what? Edification. So what is edification? Edification is the benefit you receive from speaking in tongues that builds you up. Edification is the benefit you receive from speaking in tongues that builds you up. What are you meant to do, or how do you start out? You speak in tongues. When you are speaking in tongues, what are you saying? The Bible says it's a mystery. Here's what the Bible is saying. It's not meant to remain a mystery. The mystery will not help you, in quotes. When I'm speaking in tongues, my spirit understands the language. My spirit and God's spirit are in unity. My spirit always walks in the light. My spirit is never wrong because I'm a new creation. But there's a challenge. Doubts and dissension and distrust and challenges occur in the soul. So when the Bible speaks about edification, it's talking about me building up my soul to the place where my spirit already is. So my spirit is never afraid. In fact, the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of power, of love, and what? A sound mind. Now, so that you understand when it says spirit of fear, in case you think it's not talking about the spirit, it means nature of fear. God has given us nature of fear, but of power of love. It now says sound mind. So what does fear do? It robs you of a sound mind. That's what it's talking about. So anything that is has to do with fear robs a believer of a sound mind. What will happen if your mind is not sound? You can't walk in victory. Anytime you hear the word walk, has to do with the mind or the soul. So here's the issue. God expects that through the doorway of tongues, you will bring your mind into the same place where your spirit already is. Are we seated within heaven places? Yes. Our spirits are. What about our minds? No. What happens to the mind? The mind has to be brought to that point of victory, elevation also. How will it come? Edification or building up. So here's what we expect. We expect that God will minister building up to us through others. And God does. But God's primary way of ministering edification to you is not through others, but through you. It's through you. Because it's not every time that you'll be in trouble or facing a particular challenge that somebody will be around. But you are with yourself all the time. When I say you are with yourself, your spirit is with your soul all the time. So when your soul is experiencing distress or discomfort, your spirit is as still as God is. Your spirit is as comfortable as God is. Your spirit has mastery the way God has mastery. Your spirit is as fearless as God is. Where's the challenge coming? The soul. What does God want you to do? Take what is in your spirit, affect your soul. What is that called in English? Edification. Hallelujah. That's what edification is. It says, he that prophesies is ministering edification, exhortation, and comfort. So if edification is building up, exhortation is being raised up beyond the challenge. Comfort is the solution to the challenge. And it says your spirit has all three. Hallelujah. You really must come to a full understanding of the fact that God is consistently 24 hours dealing with your spirit, man. Why? Your spirit is in the light. Hallelujah. You know when you say that I am confused, you just confess what you are feeling in your soul, because your spirit man can never be confused. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, he's talking about the mind. We are in the light because he is in the light. That's our spirit. But what about your mind? That's where the issue is. Your mind or your soul may not walk in the light. How will your soul walk in the light? Edification. Or your soul will hear things that only the spirit of God can convey through your spirit, through your mouth to your soul. When your soul hears, your soul will change direction and come into alignment with the plan and purpose of God. And it's not something that happens occasionally. It's a lifestyle. Why? Regularly on a daily basis, challenges come to the soul. Hallelujah. Challenges come to the soul. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down where? In green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Have you ever noticed that? He maketh me and then leadeth me. You know, there are two different phrases. It means once you get born again, it is compulsory that you must feed on the word. Green pasture is the word. Besides still waters, it will lead you. Well, you don't have to follow. To lead you, that's meditation. After you have eaten, you need to meditate. As still waters. Then he restores my soul. Someone says, why does my soul need restoration? You don't know how wrong you are thinking. You are thinking seriously wrong. But as a new creation, that you are spotless, without fault, without blame, before God, standing holy, God's righteousness. And yet you are still thinking, what if everything goes wrong? So your thinking is alright. So your soul needs restoration. It will come after you are fed in green pastures. You have actually stayed by the still waters. Then your soul will be restored. It is only then they are ready to walk in the valley of the shadow of death. Why is it a shadow? Because it's with you. Let me say this. The valley of the shadow of death is not a valley of shadows for everyone. For those who are not in Christ, it's the valley of death. Let me say that again. The Bible says Satan is the God of this world. And this world is the valley of the shadow of death. But it's only a valley of a shadow of death for those who are in Christ. Because for he is the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff, they what? Comfort me. So as long as you have reality, every other thing is a shadow. What's reality? Christ is your reality now. That's what makes the attacks a shadow. Hallelujah. You are not going to die. You have already died all the day you are going to die in Christ Jesus. Now you are commanded to live. Hallelujah. So what makes the shadow? You have reality. So if sickness comes, it's a shadow. If failure comes, it's a shadow. Why is the shadow? You already have, what's the reality? You have been made whole already in Christ Jesus. You're already in victory. You're not going to get victory. You're already in victory. That's reality. As long as reality is present, every other thing that's contrary is a shadow. How do you get there? Edification that comes by you speaking. So God devised a supernatural language. The Spirit of God will give utterance to your spirit. Your spirit will now speak for the utterance. You receive understanding of the utterance. The utterance, the understanding that you receive will minister life, building up strength, edification to your soul. Now, here's the issue, like I said. Many of us speak in tongues, but very few of us receive edification. Everything of God has to do with faith. If we may all speak with tongues, how come not everyone is receiving education? What's the bridge? Knowledge. If I know that the Bible says that I will that you all speak with tongues in order that you may prophesy, and I know that surely there's an end. What is the end? If I start speaking in tongues, there is an end in God's mind. If I don't fulfill that end, I have not fulfilled the purpose of God in speaking in tongues. No wonder a lot of believers get tired of speaking in tongues. They don't see it as a means to an end. To them, it's an end. If you spend 2 hours speaking in tongues, and you don't know anything you said, after a while, you're tired. What you pray, you don't know. What you say, you don't know. And by the way, remember what we said? Speaking in tongues and praying in tongues are not the same. I'm gauging you. I'm looking at your faces. So that is registering. Say speaking in tongues and praying in tongues are not the same. Simple test. Is it every time you are speaking that you are praying? How many of us spoke to somebody today? Were you praying to the person? But you spoke. You can't pray without speaking. But you can't speak without praying. How many of you understand that? So there are times I'm praying in the spirit. There are times I'm speaking in the spirit. What's common to the two? Both are by the spirit. That's all. Can I speak my understanding? Yes. Can I pray my understanding? Yes. That's all. What's praying with the understanding? I pray with my mind. What's speaking with understanding? I speak with my mind. I'm speaking my understanding now to you so you can hear me. Why am I not speaking in tongues? Because if I speak to someone, you won't hear me. Except I interpret what I'm saying. So I'm speaking to you in my understanding now. If I can speak with my understanding, I can speak with my spirit also. Praying the spirit and speaking the spirit is the same way. Both operate by a conscious exercise of man's will. What's the difference? A man needs to understand praying in tongues or speaking in tongues is a means to an end, particularly speaking in tongues. So Bible says, he that speaketh, it didn't say he that prayeth. Verse 14 now speaks about those who pray in tongues. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. But in verse 3, it's talking about speaking. If I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit what? Is my spirit that's speaking. But what is the purpose of speaking? That I should get to a point where I receive edification. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues. So it's not believing in tongues. It's only saying the one who is speaking, prophesying, he is ministering directly to the person's soul. Your spirit doesn't need building up in that sense. But your soul does. And there's enough of God inside of you at all times. But here's the issue. Your soul needs to be brought into that same level of what? Understanding. Look at Romans chapter 5. Let me give your mind something to work with. Romans 5. Am I the only one feeling hot here? It's as though the weather is just still. Alright. Now, I'm using Romans 5 because this is not going to happen. This has happened. So Romans 5 is a testimony or a record of what has already happened. Let me read. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The Bible says every believer, wherever they are standing in grace. What's grace? God's tremendous ability. You are standing there now. Why are you not aware? It's in the spirit. It's not of the soul. It's in the spirit. What's your assignment? Your soul needs to be brought to that understanding. That's what David meant by restoring the soul. The soul is not thinking like the spirit is thinking. Where are you standing now in the spirit? In tremendous ability. In this grace wherein we stand. What is that grace? We have peace with God. Listen. When you have peace with God, what it means is this. Whatever God has, you share the same knowledge. Not only that, it belongs to you. Nothing missing, nothing broken. What it means to have peace is that nothing of God at any point in time is withheld from you. But your soul can tell you it's withheld. What do you do? Build up your soul or minister edification to your soul. I want to get married. I don't know if I will have money. What's the issue? Your soul is not built up. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. If all you know in the Bible is that you have peace, that between you and God, there is no conflict, that God is on your side, that the same way God prospers is the same way you are prospering. To the degree to which He prospers, the way to give God has prospered your spirit also. If that's all you know, something will happen to your soul. Let me read on. See what it says. Verse 3 again. By whom we have access by faith into this grace when we stand and rejoice in hope or expectation of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works what? Works what? Now, remember, if you are reading King James, get other translations to support. If you can get the original Greek, fine. Because that word patience, just it means endurance, but it also means masculine consistency in the face of trial. Let me read on. It says, and patience experience, and experience what? Hope. In the place of hope, put expectation. So, in and consistency experience, and experience hope. And hope does not make ashamed. Let me explain what that means. Not make ashamed, the hope that we have, that is based on experience, never disappoints. Sonny, when you come up to the platform and you take the mic, are you expecting to sing? Have you ever failed to sing? Why are you able to take the mic and sing? Experience. Why are you starting out to sing? Hope or expectation? What's the expectation based on? Experience. What's the experience? God has never failed. Let me read it another way. What experience is talking about? It says, we glory also in tribulations. How are we glory in tribulation? Remember, we are standing in grace. Remember, we have peace with God. Why are we glory in tribulation? It will pass. We will stay. We are glowing because we know the end of the tribulation. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome. What will your spirit communicate to your soul? Daughter, son, rejoice. You have victory already. Victory is not going to come. It's already in you now. Before the tribulation ever arose, you already have victory. But your mind is not fully aware. And your mouth is meant to speak it out. Why is your mouth speaking it out? Your mouth will only speak of what already is. Hallelujah. Your spirit man is commissioned to say things as they are. Your soul sees things as they are going to be. But your spirit knows things as they already are. We have to bridge the gap. How do you bridge the gap? Tongues, prophecy, edification. Hallelujah. Notice what it says, that the time comes when, as you are glowing and you are walking with God, you have experience. The experience has now produced hope. What is that? Expectation. Every one of us, you know, we can use simple illustration. Every one of us, we do this every day. You step out to your car. It is the day you start your car, it doesn't start, that you know something may be wrong. But nobody goes to the car to start it and not expect it to work. You are making plans. While you are in your clothes, you are going to work tomorrow. It's very rare for you to wake up and think that you no vehicle will move in Lagos. You know some things that you just naturally expect. In fact, you are planning the time you are going to get to work. So we do this every day, only unconsciously. Now, it now applies to spiritual things. It says, this kind of experience that you have gained from overcoming several challenges and several afflictions, it has now produced hope. What is that hope? It's a hope that will never disappoint you. Seeing that the love of God has already been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So your soul is now taken along with you on a journey. What is that journey? Soul. Be at peace. God is in control. If he's in control, you already have mastery also in that situation. Ask comfort. Hallelujah. Ask comfort. So in the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it says that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. Why is it hidden? It's not on the surface. Not only that, it is hidden for us, not hidden from us. Hidden for us means that we have to consciously exercise it for it to manifest. It's not going to fall or drop out on us. Why? God doesn't know whether you are willing to exercise it. When it comes to spiritual things for a new creation, it's as far as you are willing to go. Do you know you cannot say God is more faithful to somebody in revelation than you? It is as far as you are willing to go. Someone says, Pastor, how do I get more revelation? Speak more mysteries. What's the harvest of mystery? Revelation. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but unto God. No man understand it. How be to speak, if seek what? Mysteries. What will mystery generate? Revelation. If I want more revelation, what should I do? I speak more mysteries. It's interesting. In Mark chapter 4, I won't open to you, so I won't get stuck there. Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower. Amen? Bible says, so is the kingdom of God. As though a man should cast seed into the ground. A man should cast seed. Everything in the kingdom works that way. Works that way. Why is man casting seed expecting harvest? What's man's job? Cast seed. How will harvest come? He knoweth not how. What was he meant to do? Cast seed. How will harvest come? He knoweth not how. What is an assignment? Cast seed. Do you have seed? Cast it. What am I doing? I'm speaking mysteries. I'm casting seed. What's the harvest? Revelation. How will the devil manifest? Exhortation, edification, and comfort. Most of the time, it is coming where just unconscious is coming. That's why people say things like, you know, I just woke up this morning with a bright new idea. No, it's the harvest of the seed that you sowed. What seed? You spoke mysteries. The mysteries that you planted came back to you as a revelation. That bright idea came from your spirit. It is now your soul is catching up with it. So the sudden change in man, the sudden resolve, I am now going to go south. I just woke up this morning and I'm sure it's south I want to go. No, it's the time you spend praying in tongues the other time or speaking in tongues. The harvest has now come. How does it come? It came in certainty. You have received exhortation on the inside. You are built up. You know exactly what you're going to do now. That's what happened. But what I'm saying is this, we can move from unconsciously receiving to deliberately receiving. God is an intelligent God. Be an intelligent Christian. It's not everything that requires prayer. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So there are mountains you speak to. What things soever desire. He says, pray about your desire. Speak unto mountains. So I have a challenge. It's not every challenge I pray about. There are challenges that need to be spoken to. As if I have this challenge, what am I meant to be to say? We speak the wisdom of God. What's God's wisdom? What to do? Speak it in the mystery. Have you ever been in a situation when you knew about 3, 4, 5 things to do according to scripture? You just don't know which one will work. How many people have been there? There's no money. Things are a bit tight. Financially, you have tried everything you know how to do and the flow is a little bit tough. They said, some people say, go and sow a seed. You have even sown in the past. Maybe the results you didn't get, so you are still discouraged from the past results. So you are like, I'm not sowing any other seed. If I sow this one, and that's all I have to eat, and I will sow it again. I'm not sowing. Somebody said that. The other time when we went to that church, he told us to do 2 hours of dancing in praise. You are like, even the way my body is even singing, I can't last 30 minutes. Should I do 2 hours of dancing in praise? What are you looking for? Answer to what we turn things around. You are like, okay. Somebody says, no, don't, you don't have to do that. Just give God praise for 3 hours. And like, my voice is not even working well. Maybe to finally go after 7 minutes. So what are you are looking for? Okay, someone says, you know what? The other time when I was financing, I just went to a man of God. I just dropped every offering. And I'm like, okay, that's an idea, but my offering is not remotely heavy. Oh, so there are different things that you can do, but what to do for you is where the issue is. Remember, Moses was meant to cross the Red Sea. He used a rod to part it. When it was time for Elijah to do, he used a garment. What happened in 2 situations? The river or sea parted. Did they use the same method? No. You understand? So, you can't use formula. That's why we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. What's formula? My sister gave offering the other day. In fact, in 3 days, God blessed her with tenfold. You may give and nothing comes in 7 weeks. You now say God is partial. Question is, did he ask you to do that? He's asked the wisdom of God in your own situation. I like giving this illustration. God anointed Samson. Every time he sees lion, he tears them to pieces. God anointed Daniel. When he sees lion, he goes to sleep. If you don't know your own anointing, and lion is sleeping and you go and wake it up and say, I'm Samson. Insurance will not cover you. Because Daniel's anointing makes lions to sleep and lion will go to bed. Samson will tear. You now say, I'm like Samson of old. And God has made the lion to sleep. You went to go and say, wake up. They won't be, and you need to know I'm here. That's what happens when you copy people. Because the pathway of God for you is different. What are you meant to do? We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Is it meant to remain a mystery? No. So, you started a business. When this person spoke, the wisdom of God said, borrow money to start. When God spoke to you, he said, start with what you have. Is it not wisdom for both individual? But not the same. Someone says, well, we're not the same. Neither are we occupying the same space. So the wisdom of God cannot be static. It's dynamic. What are you meant to do? Speak it. What will happen if I speak? Speaking is the first part. What's the harvest of my speaking? It is the wisdom of God. But when it's coming out, it starts as a mystery. But I should recognize this mystery I'm hearing is actually God's wisdom in hidden form. What am I meant to do? I continue. What will happen? There will be a conversion process by faith. After a while, it will stop coming out and sound like a mystery. It will sound like a language my mind can understand and the wisdom I can practically walk in. Step number one, step number two, step number three, do this, see this person, call that person. What's happening? The wisdom has now come to a place where you can use it. But we speak that wisdom in the words, mystery. It's as though for the new creation, for our believers, it's most difficult thing for them to believe that their salvation is in their mouth. Think about it. God has made you complete in Him, such that what He wants to say, He will say by His Spirit, through your Spirit. Your Spirit will speak it out. And because you are a new creation, unlike the old creation, you can speak by the Spirit at will. When your faith is needed, it's for you to stay speaking until interpretation comes, or exhortation or edification that comes, which is the thing, same thing you spoke out in mysteries coming to your understanding. What am I saying? The next time you pray in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit to fellowship and worship with God is fine. But it's more than that. There's more. You can not only pray in the Spirit, you can speak in the Spirit also. When you speak, what should you do? Expect that something will be ministered to you that will help you out of that difficult situation. It will change your approach to why it's important for a new Christian to speak in tongues. In a member of this church, you by now should have left the argument, is it compulsory for everybody to speak in tongues? You are missing out. It means you don't even know anything we're talking about. Is it compulsory? Is it not compulsory? I sometimes speak. Is it necessary? You don't know anything we're talking about. That's what it means. The Bible says we speak the wisdom of God, and yet the wisdom of God is yours in Christ Jesus. Christ has made unto us wisdom. How will it come? By you speaking out. You know, God uses foolish methods to produce maximum results, so that no flesh can glory in His sight. That's one of the reasons why tongues is one of the most fought principles of God's word for the new creation, and yet it's the door to literally almost everything that God wants to do for a believer. If I ask you now, today is Wednesday, how many times have you spoken in tongues this week? It will amaze you at the results. I mumbled a couple of words on Monday. It's as you are saying that I'm remembering that it's Monday. And some people did it on Monday. We should clap for them, because some people, they've not done it for 3 weeks now. When was that time did it? The last time we had the Holy Ghost meeting, that's January. Imagine if your salvation is delayed from Ghana to now. What's the issue? Because this is the avenue that God has designed, that the new creation will walk in the victory that already is in Christ Jesus. Why are we not walking? Walk is a function of the soul. What's challenging with the soul? The soul is the part of you that's confronted with challenges and problems. It's one that sees difficulties and limitations. The spirit of man is as limitless as God is. That is the one that's recreated in Christ Jesus. So the Bible says that the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. The candle means God always functions or ministers to you or communicates with you through your spirit. Stop looking for the answer of God in your mind. Stop. Because people pray simple prayers. God, lead me. Should I do that business or not? They're waiting for yes or no. Where are they waiting for yes or no? Inside their mind. Think about it. That's what everybody does. Most people do. And where is God communicating in your spirit? So if you are expecting it to come through the senses and it has come to the spirit, it means that God expects you to speak it out. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So with the knowledge of the fact that the last time I spoke now, I spoke God's wisdom. I spoke it in mystery. Did I wait to receive that wisdom from mystery form into understanding form? Did I wait? So the person who is receiving it, what's he using? Understanding. He knows if I start, there's an end. This other one just says that they say we speak in tongues. I'm speaking in tongues. And you're speaking to the air. And you are ministering edification into the air where it's not needed. I believe that there are a lot of church buildings that edification is filling the ceiling. The ceiling is full of edification. That if we can use something in spirit to harvest the edification down, lives will change forever. Why? We spoke into the air. Because we didn't receive the benefit. And Bible talks about the benefit. Hallelujah. So go back to 1 Corinthians now. 14. Are you there? Verse 6, it says, Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except as I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge, or by prophesying or doctrine? Even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in sounds, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, or in same manner. Likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue what to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Hallelujah. This is a very serious indictment on every believer. Paul is actually saying, why can't you speak words that's easy to understand? Let me say that in a modern language. You are spoken so much in tongues. None of us can hear what you are saying. Why can't you please interpret? And Paul is asking as though interpretation is within the control of the Christian. That's exactly what he's saying. Interpretation is within your control. Interpretation is not translation. It is interpretation. Matthew's come. Matthew, you speak Igbo, don't you? I want you to say, I'm victorious in Christ Jesus in Igbo.
I'm on your merry name, Christ Jesus.
Is that what he said? The one I said, and the one he said, which one do you understand? What did he just speak? Tongues. Where you are concerned. With the exception of those who speak. How many people speak Igbo here? Let me see. You understood what he said? You understand what he said? Okay, so, those people that understood, they were interpreters. They understood what he said. Now, what he said, was it a good thing? After he comes to the pulpit and comes to say what he said, and you didn't understand, even though it was good, how many of you were blessed by it? Was it good? So obviously, it is not what he said, but how much he blesses. So Paul said, you will speak into the air. What are you speaking? You guys are speaking good things. What's the problem? You are not speaking words that are easy to understand. What will understanding do? It will bless everyone, including you. And Paul is acting as though, why are you people not speaking the right words that are easy to understand? What Paul is saying is this. He means he's saying that every Christian can interpret. I have not said every believer can come out here in church and minister by tongues and interpretation. I'm talking about personally. In your personal prayer life. To minister to people here or to the old church, that's a ministry. That's different. Only few are called. And he has said some, not all. That's different. But the one he's talking about here is talking about what everyone can do. Do you know in this same chapter, Paul says, you may all prophesy one by one. He's even from prophesying to the church. He's talking about yourself. Now you can speak. What's prophecy? Inspired utterance. You may all speak one by one. What's saying? If you speak psalms, it's inspired utterance. And the psalms can comfort you and edify you. So Paul's saying that, don't you understand? I want you to become, to grow, to become mature. What's maturity? Stop declaring mysteries alone. Receive the harvest. Let us hear what the harvest is saying. What's the harvest? Let us hear words that are easy to understand in edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's what Paul is saying. And he says the whole church can. And he now surmises and now says, wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. And the original Greek says, let him continue until he receives interpretation. What does that tell you? He will certainly receive interpretation. If there is time, we will experiment tonight. Hallelujah. I've been quoting this. So let me show you. So, because in case you think it's in this chapter. Look at 31. Are you there? Verse 31. Are you there? Can we read together? 1, 2, go. All may what? And all may be. All may learn. All may be. You may all prophesy. One by. Let me put it another way. There is no believer who is filled with the Spirit who cannot prophesy. But there are believers who will not prophesy. But there's no believer who cannot prophesy. But there are believers who will not prophesy. It's a function of will. They will not. It's even from they cannot. They can. Paul tells how to. Chapter 14 is teaching how to. All can. All may. But not all will. What are we doing to ensure that all will, or to affect your will, which is what understanding does? Once you understand, then you can. It's still by faith. How many of you know we speak in tongues by faith? You know, you do it so much that you don't even know that it's by faith. How many of you have sat down before and you woke up and like, I want to speak in tongues. Will it come out? No, you just open your mouth and then tongues are, do you know that's faith? It means you are switching your spirit on and off at will. I don't even thought about it. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. It means you are switching your spirit on and off. If my spirit can be switched on, and my spirit is always in contact with the Holy Ghost, it means inspired utterance can be switched on. And it can be switched off. That's implication. That's what Paul is trying to communicate to us about the new creation, that we are so different and so special, so connected with God, so in union with Christ, you can switch on, you can switch off, and it's by choice. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing, and it says, I will. So it's not even saying, wait for the Holy Ghost. No. Because the Holy Ghost is waiting on you, you will, and you can, anytime you want to. It's a function of your will. Hallelujah. It's a function of your will. That is so important. He said, I will. So if you can, and you will, and we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, we can exercise tonight. Now, because you have been sitting down for so long, stand to your feet. You will sit down again. Amen. This is for exercise. Hallelujah. We are all coming from work, so some of us are tired and we're looking tired. Let me say this. I want to say something and I want to think about it. One of the reasons why it's good to be in Christ is this. When we get our new bodies, we will never be tired again. As it occurred to you, we will never be tired again. What is more, we'll be able to eat. But guess what? The food we eat has nothing to do with the growth of our bodies. So the issue of I am too fat doesn't occur. And we are fed doesn't occur. The food will have nothing to do with nourishing the body we have. Because the body we have will be sustained by light, nothing else. It will have capacity. But you imagine never being tired again. And that was the kind of body Adam had that he lost. Never grow tired. And it took 900 years for death to catch up with that body. And Jesus is giving us another body that he personally created. We will never be tired again. Hallelujah. Now, what I just told you now is some of the truths that I spoke out by my spirit and my mind got to know. That there's coming a time, and that even now you can enjoy part of the blessing of the world to come in this world now. When you never know defeat or disappointment, when your laughter in God is consistent. Because you know victory for you always is. Because you are in Him who is already your peace. So there's no conflict the adversary or the enemy can bring. You know from the beginning of time, victory was put in your account. A victory that can't be depleted or diminished. A victory that will last forever. So let your soul rejoice in consonance with that which your spirit knows. Your spirit knows you have God. Your spirit knows you win by God. Let your soul also rejoice in that understanding. Let it shout for joy. Let it know that the challenges are temporal, but your victory is permanent. And that which is will abide and will stay. And the challenge will be no more, but because you are built to last, you will last. And you are the one that will see the end of all challenges. Because you are in Him who lives forever. As He is forever, so you also are forever. Hallelujah. Now, I just switched from my mind to my spirit. And it's the same tongue. I'm back to my mind now. And I used, what did I do? Just hooked up to my spirit man. And Paul says we can do it by will. When I say 1, 2, go, all of us will speak in tongues. Are you ready? 1, 2, go. Egamon, Brestige, Bresti, Costambracata, Edele, Mingros, Tusabracato, Citibria, Elide Pre, Shebros, Tusabracata, Lica Daste, Ziki Bro, Bacatile, Kiste, Vredila, Caste, Sebrekis, Tusoprocota Dasta, Ekike Capretile, Ekikobrona, Kalakiki, Stixi, Sebrekita, La Cobrocusta, Astise Sebre, Enaman Coprustica, Sisebrekita, Eningra Cato, Curusta, Fredicla Daste, Eline Gra, Susubroculicante, Ekitelita, Ejebresti, Costosoprocota, Galatiki, Stise, Sebredica, Latis, Sosopocata. Hallelujah. Sit down. Let's sit down. You can see that now. Now let me say, I'm going to give an interpretation now, but I want to say something to us first before I do that. And that's the fact that, do you realize that, how many of us speak in our natural language, and we don't listen to what we say. How many of us do that? You speak and you don't listen to what you say. You don't listen. You just speak. Do you do anything like that? You know, there's nothing you will say that you're not listening to. Now, I'm trying to show you a clue. There is nothing you will say in your natural language that you are not listening to. Isn't it? You want to speak to your husband. What you're about to say, you will listen to it. If your husband is speaking, whatever he's saying, you're also listening. Now, in the same way also, let's look at this. When you are speaking in tongues, learn to listen deliberately. You know, I'm giving some clues. Because when most of us speak, we actually don't listen. We just speak. Somebody says, why? Because it's in another tongue. So our natural ears can't pick up anything. But you have more than natural ear. You have spiritual ears that can affect your natural ears. And whenever your spirit man hears, he will give interpretation to your natural ear. I'm just showing you clues. Now, when we spoke now, here's what somebody was saying. I will no longer sit and wait, for they that wait upon him shall renew their strength. My strength is renewed. Now I will run, for the hands of Jehovah upon my shoulders. I will run past the place where I was before, where there was limit and a barrier that made me think I will not go further. But the heaven has given signal, I will go further and beyond, and I will start my own new month now. That's what somebody just said in spirit. Now, it's a real language like any other language. What's the issue? Bible says in a tongue or in an unknown tongue. And that has thrown many of us off. It is practice that makes your spiritual ears awaken to be the same way. There is nobody here who understands the language of his mother and father that he didn't understand it by learning over time. How many of you? Yeah, understood by learning over time. My vocabulary in English language was greatly enriched by the books I read when I was growing up. I read a lot of novels. I read novels like, as in, I can sleep in a novel for 6 hours. So, contextual application of words in stories helped my vocabulary to grow very fast. Very fast. Now, the same thing also. How do you learn a language? By listening to it. If you stay with the Hausas, you will pick up some words. After a while, but you will never pick up the words that will fully register until you try to speak it. If you stay with Igbo people, their language is even a little bit, you know, not as straightforward as the Hausa language. But if you stay long enough and you start speaking, you will make some mistakes at first, but after a while, you catch up. Even intonation, if you're not careful, you pick it. You will start saying, oh, yeah. After a while. So says, why can't they just say oil? He's all yell. His intonation. They are brought up that way. Intonation is in it. I mean, it's only matters that will not say oil because he didn't grow up there. But if you grow up there, there are some words they will say. And when they are speaking English, you will know this is an Igbo man. Because the intonation affects the way they even speak English. So it takes a man who has left intonation alone not to use intonation when he's speaking. They naturally do. The same thing also, those things are cut and length. The same thing with tongues. Hallelujah. Now we're going to speak one more time, but this time around, the difference between first time and second time is this. This time around, as you're speaking, I didn't say pray, I said speak. This time around, listen. Someone said, Pastor, what am I listening for? It is not translation. It is interpretation. How many of us know Yoruba Proverbs? Yoruba Proverbs. How many of us are Yoruba people here? Yeah, Yoruba person. Let me see your hand. Okay. How many of us have heard Proverbs before? You know some. You know you can't translate Proverbs literally to help you know. It is the meaning that matters. Isn't it? So, when you want to explain it to people, if you try translation, you will confuse the person. But if you give the person the meaning, the person will understand. Okay, this is what you are trying to say. So when you see, if you ever see a book that puts Yoruba Proverbs and meaning, that's the word, meaning, not translation. Meaning means what truth are they trying to convey? As Yoruba Proverbs that says, "Angboro modie lowoku, onu ofo unle kunla kitanoje." Literal translation is this. What they're trying to say is this, "Oromodie is cheeky." A small chick that just hatched. We are trying to rescue it from danger. This is translation now. I will not even know. We're trying to rescue you from danger. He says, everyone who is trying to rescue me is preventing me from going to the rubbish heap to go and eat. But rubbish heap is where death is waiting for it. Because the word ikud there or death there is that at the rubbish heap is where the eagle flies across and we see the chicken carry it. So if you literally, transition means that they say that we are trying to rescue the small chick from death. He is saying we are trying to hinder him from going, but meaning actually is this. When people are trying to help you out of difficulty and you choose to go your own way, you are going to end up in trouble. That's meaning now. So they will use natural illustrations to explain certain truths. Those things are true. The same flavor as tongues. It is conveying something. Catch the meaning. When words were spoken, what impression came to your heart? Because somebody got on and spoke in tongues for, you spoke out in tongues for 20 minutes. You now say, all I can seem to pick is forgive. Don't hold any grudge in your heart. Just let go. You now say, is that all? That's all you picked up. Is interpretation or translation? If it's translation, you also will hear things for another 20 minutes. What's interpretation? So when you are speaking, listen. What will you catch? Interpretation. Or the meaning of what was what spoken. For instance, now, as I said what I said earlier, now, I know I should pray for this young lady. Mrs. Itoro, please come forward. Let her come and sit here, I'll pray for her. I said, how do you know that? By the Spirit. Part of the interpretation I prayed out. And there's somebody here also that you have been crying of recent. Spirit of God wants to know, is your outer man that's crying? Your inner man. Is not sorrowful or sad. But you are putting a limit on how much God can help you. For the help of God is with the inner man. And if the outer man is shut down, he won't be able to pick up that which the inner man has. And that which the inner man has is the answer that God has. So the Spirit of God says to tell you, weep not, put on the garment of praise, and rejoice now that the connection may be set. And once the connection is set, the bridge is lowered, then things will flow. All that the Father has, His comfort, His mercy, His goodness, and the manifestation of which the layoff caused the cry in the first place shall be before your eyes. Hallelujah. So we're going to speak once more. So everybody now, 1, 2, go. Let's speak in tongues. Ezakato, Pedieshta Sopo, Leti Brastuko Sabrakata, Sekubratia Glitchisto Brekesti, Astabrakata, Yest. Help, assistance, sustenance, help, assistance, sustenance, succor, supernatural comfort. Fear is banished, fear is banished. Mind becomes resolute. Mind becomes resolute, 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 resolute. With a peace that you cannot explain, your mind becomes resolute, a peace you cannot explain. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The images, contrary to the will of God, they will not come to pass. They will not come to pass. They will not come to pass. No? Those images will not be. But the image of the word will prevail. Will prevail. We pray, it shall be with joy. 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 For you will have assistance in a supernatural way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The drums that are beating are not drums of failure or disaster. They are drums of rejoicing. They will start. They've started already. They will be on. As you go through and as you come out, they will increase in tempo. Drums of rejoicing. And none can stop that drum from playing for you. So time is a season. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, who among us had what he or she said? Let me see. You had what you said. You had what you said. I mean, any of us, you had what you said. Glory, I'm not going to say you should come out and say it. Because there are things you will hear that are even personal. You understand? But what I want you to do is to start hearing. and they start practicalizing. That God is that detailed. Someone says, Pastor, I didn't hear. There's nothing wrong. That scripture actually says, let him that speaketh pray that he may. It means continue. It means that maybe for you, a little more time of you staying with it and then to just flow. It should just flow. It should just flow. What do you do? Continue. I've shared the principle before. For Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then shall you be my disciples indeed. Then you shall know the truth. So apparently continuity opens one up to the truth. Why do people fail so much? Very few people continue. Most people discontinue at the early stage. Why are some people not speaking in tongues? They spoke a few words and they stopped. And they said, is that what is there? And then they shut up. And they didn't know they were damning the flow. If you continue my word, then shall you be my disciples. Or people who live like the master lives with his experiences, they are proof. And you shall know the truth. How do you get the truth? Continue. If you continue. But the word if means is within your control. If you continue, then shall you be. But you have to continue. So you will be people who profess that you have truth because you continued. And that's what Paul is teaching. Continue. Let him that speaketh pray that he may. As you speak, when interpretation come, it will. Just stay with it. It will. Just stay with it. It will. Just stay with it. And you get the best. Amen. Pastor T, you want to say something? Hallelujah. All right. We'll stop here today.